Welcome to No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. We promise to inspire, challenge, and make you think beyond the ordinary, reaching for a life lived for love alone. Stay tuned for the next 30 minutes and tell your friends to join us every Saturday night at 5:30 and Sunday morning at 9:30 Central Standard Time. And now, here's my husband, Bishop Randy Dean.
Welcome again, everybody. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. I'm thrilled and honored that you would choose to give me a half an hour of your life today for this episode of the No BS Bishop. I'm alive to love. I have no aim in life that is lower than love. All my aim is high, and I aim high for love because lesser values can easily devolve and melt down into BS. And however you want to define BS, I'll leave it with you. But one thing I do know is that it can be bait and switch. We bait people with other ideas lesser than love, and then we switch whenever things get a little hard and things get a little difficult. Love endures. Love rises to every challenge. Love will not lay down and die. Love refuses to give up. Love has this instinct, this power, this strength of never failing. 1 Corinthians 13 says, love never fails. And in the course of life, I have learned that God is love, and love is God, and God never fails, and God is love. And so that means love never fails. So if I stay on the track of love, if I stay on the path, on the roadway of love, if I will remain true to love, then I will not fail. Oh yeah, I'll stumble here and there. I may faceplant now and again, but I will get up and I will fight forward. I'm going to talk to you today about the promises of love. There are four B's to it. They're pretty simple. I'll make it easy for you to remember. The promises of love. Love is in and of itself a reward. Love is not just the commandment. It's a reward in and itself. There are very few commands in life that bring their own reward, but love is definitely one of them. Because if I love, if I truly, truly love, not only is the person and the places around me that are being loved by me improved, but more than anything, I will always get better on the inside of me. The reward is that I get better. The reward is I avoid bitterness and I get better. If you could say it this way, I'm not bitter, I'm better. I'm not going into bitterness, I'm getting into betterness. Yeah, I said it. Made up a word right here. You were witness to a word invention. Okay, let me get right to it now. The promises of love. First of all, the promise of love is it builds a bigger life. Love creates a larger space for living. Whenever we hate or whenever we dislike or whenever we fall into the pit of lovelessness, then life shrinks at the speed of the loss of love. Love carves out a bigger space for living. If I love my job, it makes my life bigger on the job. If I love my neighbors, it makes my life bigger, not smaller. If I, you know, if you flip that around, let me give you an illustration. If I'm not loving my neighbor, if I'm just selfishly seeking my own way in my own life, then my life shrinks. And here's how it happens. If I'm not loving my neighbor and I see that they haven't been mowing all the way to the edge of their property and they're leaving more grass grow over, it looks like my side of the property, love says, I'm going to mow that piece of grass right there. I'm not going to get bitter about it. I'm going to get bigger about it. I will be a bigger person. I will mow more than I have to. Love says I will do more than I need to. Love says I will get up and I will resign the notion of hating. I will resign the notions of getting back or fighting for revenge. Love doesn't live in those shrunken values. Love rises and gets bigger. Love creates a bigger life. So if I'm loving my neighbor, even if my neighbor is being lazy, I can say that they're being lazy. Even if they're tossing their tree trimmings over the boundary or the border of my property onto my side of property, okay, You're getting lazy, but I'm going to be bigger. My life is not going to be shrunken into the size of laziness or resenting your laziness. That's a part of this. You know what resentment is? It's sending again the feeling of negativity. To resend, to be resentful is to send it again through your thinking. Keep sending it, the negativity, back through your thinking. Resentment is just following, chasing your tail like a dog chases their tail, going nowhere except just getting dizzy from your own bitterness. Be bigger. Live a bigger life. Be as big as you can dare to be. And I know that we need boundaries. I'm a big teacher of boundaries. If you've been here at all, you've heard me again and again and again. I love everybody, but for some people, I've got to love them at a distance. That's what boundaries are. There are some people who are either outright dangerous to me, or are there consistently harmful to me. But I'm not going to give in to resentment. I'm going to love them anyway, even if I have to love them with a boundary from a distance. So the first promise of love is it creates a bigger life, a bigger view, a bigger vision for all things going on about me. The second B, remember I told you there's the four B's of the promises of love. The second B of the promise of love is it's a better life. Maybe that's self-evident, but you know, we should just hang on to that a minute. Roll it around in your hand. You want a better life? A better life isn't a bigger house. A better life isn't a bigger car, better car. A better life is a loving life. A life of quality is created by love. A better life, a better living is always going to be that you have loved well and that you are sustaining a vision, a happy view for love. You know, we hear routinely, I think, in the news about road rage. It's one of the most common loveless acts in our day and time, road rage. And it's costing lives. It's so life stealing when it comes down to it, because not only are the people on the receiving end of the road rage being literally dying, but the people giving the road rage are shrinking and their life is getting worse. It's not getting better. You're not improving your life when you take out your anger on somebody on a road or anywhere for that matter. You're shrinking your life. Your life is getting smaller. And as the walls of that room that you're living in, where there is no love, as the walls close in on you, you get more and more agitated, more and more fretful, more and more worried and anxious. And out of that grows worse and worse and worse shrinking of thoughts and ideas. Love makes a better life. Love is the cause of pushing back against those walls. Love recognizes that I fail others often, so I've got to look at others who fail me and recognize they're only living as I have lived on some level, on some frail level, on some absent-mindedness level. They're just me, and I'm seeing me in them. You know, when you can see others' faults, remind yourself, that's a whole lot about me, because I know that quality well. If I can see it in others, it's probably me seeing myself. I know that. Takes one to know one. Remember that? Remember saying that to a kid, as a kid? Takes one to know one. There's a little truth to that. Whenever we see a negativity in somebody else, it's probably who we are. We know it well. So don't live there. Don't run that track over and over again. Live a bigger life. Live a better life. Love promises a better life. Living better means that I've decided to make choices that are qualitative, not quantitative. Here's what that means. I'm going to give quality to the moments of my life, not just looking for more moments, but looking for more time. Just take the time you have and give quality to that time. Find in the moment you're living, in the breath you're taking, a better way to live. Love is the better way to live. Love is the better life to live. I've been loving and I've been hateful. I gotta tell you, loving is better than hate. I've been loved and I've been hated. It's way better to be loved. Love will create a better life because love has all of the best human attributes attached to it. Love is the true north of humanity. All of humanity is aching for love. We're all hungry for love. And in order to create a better life, we've got to be the chefs and the cooks, you know, the short order cook if necessary, or if you can be a chef and you plan a great meal of love, make a better life. Make a better life for yourself. Make it a better life for others. So the first B in the promises of love is a bigger life. The second B in the promises of love, it's a better life. It's bigger, it's better. But the third B of the promises of love is it builds monuments. Have you ever been driving down the highway and you see a little highway sign that says there's a historical marker on the left, historical marker 1 mile ahead? What that sign is telling you is there's a moment where you could stop. You can stop and smell the flowers. You can stop and see a vista. There's usually the monuments are at some place where you can overlook a valley or a river or look at some mountain bluffs or something along the way. The monument indicates a place where history happened, but it also indicates a place where you can get a good view of something. History happens at monuments. Make your own history. Churchill once said, "History is going to be kind to me, for I intend to write history." History will be kind to me, for I intend to write history. Start writing your own history. Write your history with the idea of building monuments along the way. What's the monument just ahead for you? Well, then get creative. Put on your thinking cap. No, put on your love cap. I think I just invented another term there. Put on your love hat and build a monument just ahead. What can I do that's going to build for me a memory that love created? The monument that is in front of me is what's going to give me something to talk about with my spouse, my friends. I'm going to be able to say, "Hey, you know, I had this great moment where I was standing in a grocery store line and somebody in front of me couldn't pay for all of their goods, and I just reached a little deeper in my pocket and I paid for it." Or here's another one for you. I talked about road rage a minute or two ago. How about we're sitting at an intersection and we're all two or three of us at the intersection trying to decide who gets the right of way? Well, I'm going to decide right away. You have the right of way. Right away, I'm deciding you get the right of way. It's a monument. It's a moment of feeling good about yourself. It's a moment of selflessness, not selfishness. Selflessness is a part of what love is about, and it builds a monument. When you see somebody else smile because you did a good deed, and they look at you and wave, that's a monument. When somebody looks at you and nods their head with an appreciation, that's a monument. And when you're able to look yourself in the mirror and know you did the right thing, and you know you did the good thing, you know you did the unselfish thing, that's a monument. Build more monuments. Build more memories, not only for yourself, but for others that you can pass along to somebody else. Give credit where credit is due. When somebody says something you remember, say, "Hey, so-and-so said to me once," and then repeat it and quote them and say, "You know, they gave me a treasure in that quote, and it was a monument for me." I have so many of those quotes in my life. It's kind of funny because over time, as I've quoted people over and over and over again, some folks think it was me that came up with that clever quote, and then they'll hear somebody else say, "Well, I've always said," and they say, "Well, wait a minute, Randy Dean says that." I don't know. I don't know who said it first or who said it last, but whoever said it, it's a monument, and it becomes something that people can hang on to. However, I am quick to say, as often as I know how, I give credit where credit is due, because I want a monument not only for myself, but for others. I want to be able to say, "This person said," and know that, you know, that gave me a treasure, that gave me a boost, that gave me an idea, that met a need in my life, and it's a monument, a historical marker right ahead of me. So historical markers. Now, I want to make a transition to my last of the four B's of the promise of love. Historical markers are not places to stop and live. They are places to stop and visit and reminisce. Reminisce enough to get energy to go on. A monument is valuable only to the degree it inspires momentum, all right? So a monument is important. We need to know history. We need to know our own personal history. We need to know who did what in a good way for the community or the world around them, because a monument then builds momentum. Builds momentum. That's the fourth B of the promises of love. The first is the promise of love builds a bigger life. The promise of love builds a better life. The promise of love builds monuments, and a monument builds momentum. Momentum. Momentum in life means that I've got the steam to get up in the morning and go forward. Now, before I get away from that, that's thought in itself. I know there are some mornings you just have to lay there and look at your feet and say, come on, feet, hit the floor. You gotta talk to yourself and speak to your own need about getting up and getting going. I know there are some days like that. I live enough of those days myself. But here's something I've said often. Listen to yourself talking for the next few days, because as you hear your words, you're gonna see your future. The more you complain, the more you're building a future that's complaint-worthy. Don't build that future entirely. Yes, you can say a negative thing or two, but when it becomes your momentum, then you're cursing your own future. You're chopping your nose off to spite your face. Build momentum through love. The promise of love is it builds momentum. So if I'm having to speak to my feet, get to that floor, feet, we got to hit this day running. When I hit the floor, then start speaking to your heart. Heart, we've got to love today. Today is a day to be loved and to be loving. I'm going to build momentum. It's as if putting a log of wood on a fire on a cold morning. I'm going to build that fire to warm up my life. I'm going to make my life a life full of steam where momentum is built. You see, momentum isn't just an accident. I've lived enough of my own struggles to get going that I understand that it seems like other people just have a natural knack for momentum. Everything just keeps coming their way. But I promise you, when you look at other people who seem to have all that momentum going for them, it's not so much that they had some kind of magic momentum came their way. It's that they created their own momentum. They decided to love. On some level, they decided to love their project, their job, the people around them. They decided to love their neighbor, their enemies. They just decided that love was going to be the fuel for their living. The promise of love is it builds a bigger life, a better life, builds monuments to remember, but monuments to remember build momentum. Build momentum in your life for the future of any given project, the future of any given purpose, the future of your own existence. You're never too old to have momentum. Never too old. And in fact, I think age becomes a curse when we give up on having any further momentum to go forward. Going forward in life isn't about having, some magic dust sprinkled on you. Going forward in life is a decision to live the promise of love. A momentum is like this. Momentum is created when you see a project and you know that it's a project that you are uniquely in some form or another, you're uniquely there in a strategic thing. Maybe the strategic thing is that it's a daily occurrence, or maybe it's a larger occurrence than just a day or two. But whatever the case, you can see I'm strategically located right here. Now let's get energy into this strategic moment. And I believe you're going to be able to predict what I'm going to say. I believe love is the ultimate energy. Energy comes from people who love, and energy creates momentum. love life, love people, love God, and for heaven's sake, love yourself. Love yourself enough to know that you're worthy of being treated right and well. And if nobody else is treating you right and well, then treat yourself right and well. Give yourself the kind of love you wish everybody else would give you. Give yourself unconditional forgiveness. Give yourself unconditional mercy. Give yourself unconditional grace. Give yourself unconditional love. You're doing the best you can. You're doing the best you can, and you can't expect of yourself to be perfect except to reach for the perfection of the beauty of love. Well, there you have it. The four promises of love, they are four B's. It's bigger, better, building monuments, and building momentum. Love is a bigger life. Love is a better life. Love builds monuments, and love builds momentum. Now, I want to close today with a little extra time on two of the projects we do every No BS Bishop broadcast. And that is, first of all, to breathe. Now, I know some of you may think that's kind of new agey or whatever. I'm not worried about that. I almost said I don't care. I do care. I care enough to know that I don't want you to misunderstand. I want you to understand that love means I'm being paced. I'm pacing my life with love, and I love myself enough to breathe well. When you're angry, you're breathing shallow, or you're breathing rapidly. When you're worried or anxious, when you're afraid, when you cause your physicality to get in that crush of fight or flight, well, then your breathing gets shallow, your breathing gets rapid, your breathing isn't serving you well because, you know, you've got that old ancient instinct of, I've got to get my adrenaline going, and your breathing takes over in a bad way if it goes on for too long. So what I want people to understand is one of the best and most loving things you can do for yourself is take a sabbatical every day, even if it's for 5 minutes or shorter. Do the Sabbath, the restful, the peaceful thing of breathing deeply. Breathe in deep and exhale deeply. Know that your breathing is a gift from God. No matter how many other things we lack in life, we can breathe if we can just get one breath in with a thought behind it. Not breathing automatically, but breathing with a rhythmic intention so that you're caring for yourself. You're slowing yourself down occasionally. Most jobs will give you a coffee break. Well, or they'll give you a lunch break. Well, I would recommend make yourself self-employed on this regard and give yourself a breathing break. Breathe in, breathe out is what my wife and I say to each other occasionally. When we get a little worked up about something, we say, breathe in, breathe out. It just causes your own thinking and your body to be a little more loved and a little more alive. So on the count of three, I want you to do that Sabbath with me. Let's create a moment of Sabbath on this No BS Bishop and give yourself breathing rest, all right? On the count of three, I want you to breathe in really deep and pull it all the way to the basement of your lungs. Push air down in there where air doesn't get often enough. Are you ready? One, two, three, breathe in. Hold it all the way down there. Get it in there. And exhale. Do it again. One, two, three, breathe in. Hold it. And exhale. That will give your body a reminder. We've got to take it easy. Take it easy. Don't let the sound of your own wheels make you crazy, is what a song says. Be alive to love. And the second thing we do on every episode of the No BS Bishop is I'm challenging you, and this is another slowdown issue. It's a Sabbath issue about love others. Make it awkward. It'll be awkward for you, first of all, until you get used to the idea. but give yourself the opportunity and give somebody else the opportunity of having eye contact, where you look at them and say, with a brief but intentional and beautiful, vulnerable moment of the three most charming, magical, beautiful words in the world, and they are, I love you. All right? Never negate the power of that possibility in somebody's life. I have run into people who haven't heard somebody say to them, I love you, in days, weeks, and maybe months or longer. It's powerful. I've talked to multitudes ever since I started this practice of intentionally looking somebody in the eye and saying, I love you. And knowing that that sets a marker in their mind, because they've rarely, if ever, heard that. And then I've had people come to me and say, you know, I practiced that. I went to a family member. I went to a mom, a dad, an uncle, a grandparent, a cousin, somebody. I went to them because I recognized I've never given them the benefit of hearing me say that. It builds a bigger life. It builds a better life. It builds monuments, and it builds momentum, going back to the four promises of love from today. Thanks for being here today. I'm Bishop Randy Dean. There's no BS coming from me. I'm not here to bait and switch. I'm not here to baloney you. I'm not here to try to convince you of something that is going to sell you something. I'm just giving this away free. I want you to know this is freely given. I have freely received, and I'm freely giving. Alive to love. Thanks for being here today. Now, be aware that in your life of love, let's get out there and do something beautiful. Because ugly has been done to death. Let's build something beautiful. Let's do something beautiful every day, small or great. Build the momentum of something beautiful. Thanks for being here. Come back again next week for another episode of Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean.
Thank you for being with us today for this episode of No BS Bishop, Alive to Love with Bishop Randy Dean. Be sure to join us again here next week, Saturday at 5:30 p.m. and Sunday at 9:30 a.m. Central Standard Time. Feel free to contact us with your questions or comments at randydeanministries@gmail.com, and we welcome your financial support at paypal.me/randydeanministries. No BS Bishop is a service of WPCA Radio and Randy Dean Ministries.